I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday afternoon. The status of girls in Wisconsin. A report from the Alverno College Research Center for Women and Girls in partnership with the Girl Scouts of Wisconsin Southeast has just been released. It's the third such report, and it raises awareness of issues and challenges that our Wisconsin girls face. In 2014, the focus is on girls ages 10 to 19 across the state of Wisconsin. Our guests from the Girl Scouts and Alverno are here today in our studios to examine the findings on education, media engagement, physical health, stress, mental health, substance abuse, sexual health, crime and incarceration, and violence and abuse. Rhonda Ware is chief, is executive director of the Alverno College Research Center for Women and Girls. The center takes scholarly research from the academic world into the real world, where it can inspire, transform, and support initiatives that improve the lives of women and girls in Wisconsin. She's also a member of the board of directors of the Women's Fund of Greater Milwaukee. Rhonda, thank you very much for being with us today. Whoops, we got a problem here with our microphone. Hold on one second, and we'll get that fixed, and we'll introduce Tracy. Tracy Wason is Chief Development and Brand Officer of Girl Scouts of Wisconsin Southeast. She cultivates, and the organization does, and solicits support to help 28,000 girls on their leadership journey as members of Girl Scouts Wisconsin Southeast. The council serves 1 in 5 girls ages 5 through 17 living in the Milwaukee metropolitan area. We'll be welcoming phone calls during the course of this hour. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and you can also find us on Twitter, and that would be @KDunnShow. And Tracy, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Microphone fixed. Rhonda, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
2014, you've done this report for 3 different times. This is the third. Was there anything that was extremely different in this report than in other reports? Good news, bad news? Rhonda?
I would say that what was striking for us is a lot of the issues were remaining pretty close to the same. So, for instance, when we were looking at mental health and depression in 2014, we're seeing about 33% of our girls, so 1/3, are reporting symptoms of depression. That's the same number from 2007. We've also seen some issues with education. We're looking at girls still lagging behind boys in math and science, which stood out. Bullying is another issue that certainly is at the forefront of everyone's mind in this community, and I would say the nation. And we haven't seen a significant movement forward in the statistics that we're seeing in that area as well. Mm-hmm. So those were things that stood out. We did actually see a shift when we're looking at media engagement, actually around our girls and video games. In 2007, we saw that they were about at 16%, and in 2013, we're at 35%.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that was a significant jump in a relatively short amount of time.
That media figure, Tracy, really amazed me. I don't know how anybody has time to do as many video games as girls do and watch television for as many hours. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're in school, a lot of people are working too, mm-hmm. and they're still watching TV and playing video mm-hmm. games a lot.
Right, and I think one thing that a lot of people presume is that those are basically running laterally. So they're doing 4 hours of this and then 3 hours of this and then 2 hours of this, but it's really multitasking. So the overall time in engagement of those kinds of media outlets is not growing substantially, but the number of things that girls are doing at once, and I would have to say boys as well, in our zone that we're looking at, that they're doing at once is growing dramatically.
Mm-hmm. I thought the other good news, and please tell me why this is the case, it wasn't that long ago that we were in this community doing show after show after show on the high teen birth, pregnant teen pregnancy and birth rate in this community. It has gone down. It's gone down rather substantially, and I'm wondering why. It's good news.
It is good news, and it's actually consistent with our national statistics, where we're seeing a decline in teen birth rates. Certainly, we didn't research all the specifics, but you know, I'm aware in my position at Alverno, as well as in the community as a community leader, just the collaboration that we've seen. You know, organizations, state level and local organizations, have really come together to address this issue, and I do think it's a great example of what we can do together when we're collaborating on an issue.
Mm-hmm. And I would add, because of the collaboration, there's a lot more connection to the girls and the young men and young women in this age range, and they're using a lot of social media and non-traditional media to really get the message out. And even though we might question how much time our teens are spending in social media land, it does then make a very easy way to get to them with some key messages mm-hmm. like this.
It is true. We worry about that, those of us who are in completely other generations like me. And yet, you know, we can lament the fact that's happening. I don't think it's going to change. I think that it's even going to increase with new forms of communication we don't even know about now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I would agree. And so, you know, for us, again, in my generation, we, you know, I had a word processor when I was in college, and now my 16-year-old son has a computer and laptop and everything else you can imagine.
Right.
So we do see that as an opportunity now for us to reach our girls in an impactful way. And I know that Girl Scouts, Boys and Girls Club of Greater Milwaukee, who's another partner, and all these other organizations are saying, okay, well, what can we do to use this to
right.
impact positive change?
Yeah. Going back to education for a moment, it's interesting when you look at it, and it seems to me as though this starts very early for whatever reason. Math and science, I know there's been a big push for women to enter those careers because they tend to be lucrative. There are a lot of jobs in those areas. And yet women seem to do better when they're very young in language arts. Boys are a little better, except for a couple grade levels, in math and science. Why is it that girls have better language arts skills early on? And I would beg to say that it's probably true for their lives, and boys tend to go into the math and science fields. What is that?
Well, I don't want to disagree, Kathleen. That's why I'm having an hawing here. I think that girls' abilities, their communication abilities, do start earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the way that girls socialize is through groups, through group being together mm-hmm. in groups. It's also the best way that girls learn.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, that skill set is really nurtured early on. I think boys have that inherent skill set, as do girls have the inherent skill set of being able to excel in math and science. But partly because of their natural way of learning and being, and partly because of what some expectations are in the classroom, you see this different rate of on these two things accelerating. And then our goal as a community, whether we're teachers or we're working with the youth outside of the classroom, is to really level that playing field and to make sure that we're having that expectation of building that skill set across the board in all of the kids.
Mm-hmm. Rhonda, do we need more emphasis on steering young girls to really buckle down and learn math and science in greater numbers than they are, or have we had too much emphasis on that lately?
No, I think that we need to continue to have emphasis on it. I think the gift of data without extensive interpretation is it shows us how far we've moved the needle forward, and I think empowers us to circle back and say, okay, if we're still seeing girls lagging behind in these areas, and we know that, I mean, girls are half the sky, so certainly they're our leaders of the future. We need them to be present in these areas,
mm-hmm.
and so for that reason, I think that we should continue to focus on these areas for our young women.
What did you find in terms of, and I know you looked at this, extracurricular activities, volunteer activities, organizations like the Girl Scouts celebrating, what did you say, it's 102nd?
102 now.
That's incredible,
yes.
102 yes. years. I was a Brownie and a Girl Scout, so many of us were. Those kinds of organizations, the importance they play in a young girl's life, and how many are joining organizations like that and volunteering? Tracy, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. We did look at those issues, and what was striking to me is the data really supports how important adult and peer mentorship is in our society and volunteerism. And I think that it supports Girl Scouts. Again, it supports Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Milwaukee. They're on my mind because I went to an event they had last night for their Year of the Girl. And what was so striking to me is I talked to the young women, and some of them were talking about, you know, where they live and where they come from and maybe lack of support in their home environment, but how Boys and Girls Club, you know, has really changed their mind. And so these are young women who are talking about wanting to be the leaders in the future, loving algebra and biology, to go back to what we were just talking about, mm-hmm. and really being empowered to want to be doctors and lawyers. And that's what organizations like a Girl Scouts or, you know, or these social support organizations are doing for our young girls. And the data supports that.
Tracy?
I think one of the most important things about girls in particular being involved in co-curricular, extracurricular, after-school programming is the fact that we know from the research done here and the research done elsewhere that the more engagement that they have, the less involvement in the less risk-taking that they engage in. And that is absolutely critical, because if we want to, especially at this age, change the trajectory of some of the kids that we work with, or every girl that we work with, we need to be helping them to not only build their own self-confidence and know how to make good decisions, but also to engage them in activities that help to prevent their engagement in risky behaviors. And in addition to that, we know that when we can engage girls in a community service, and that can be, as you know, for young kids, as you know, as modest as being involved in collecting food, and for older girls, you know, taking on a big community project. When we engage at this age in community service, it becomes a lifelong habit. And in fact, we recently did a alumni research project for Girl Scouts, where we engaged 6,000 women, half were in Girl Scouts, half were in not, and asked them a whole range of questions about their life. And it turns out that when you are in Girl Scouts, not only is your civic participation high, which I'm thinking about this week in the aftermath of a big election, but also your community engagement is a third higher than women who were not involved in Girl Scouts, as is your philanthropy. So everything that we can help girls have exposure to regarding community service at this age range definitely pays off for our community throughout their entire life.
Mm-hmm. It is true. We were thinking about elections, too, when we were looking today at the voting turnout. We still have a very, very dismal number of young people who vote in elections. And a lot of that starts with, I think, what you just talked about, becoming involved in community efforts and understanding the importance of your civic responsibility, et cetera. You learn all of that in Girl Scouts and in extracurricular activities, mm-hmm. certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Depression, you started, it was interesting, Rhonda, that you started with the rates of depression. How do you define depression among this group of young girls, and how does it manifest itself?
I'm feeling hopeless and sad for a period of time. You know, this is reporting that we were able to, you know, to deduce, and the people who actually worked on this section have a background in working with young people as well. And, you know, it saddens me, you know, again, having a daughter at home and thinking that 33% of
right.
our girls are feeling this way, and even depression, and when we look at stress as well, and the amount of stress that our girls are feeling, and how in some ways it's consistent with adult women and the stress that they're feeling. I just feel like this is a real issue that we need to be looking at and give some resources to based on this information.
It does strike me that young girls are entering a world where so much is expected from them to still be the person who takes care of the home. This hasn't changed very much in the role of women, and to have a terrific career, no wonder young people are feeling stressed, and particularly if you don't have a home environment to sort of help you along. It's hard. I think it's hard to navigate adulthood these days. or be on the brink of it and thinking, oh, what am I going to do?
I agree. Something that struck me in the report, though, is the impact that, again, adults have on young girls. And in particular, something that stands out is we have some findings that talk about African-American mothers. And if an African-American daughter's mother is handling stress in a healthy way, that can have an impact on her child. You know, we're seeing the same things in different communities. And so for me, again, it's really an opportunity for us to say, okay, well, what can we do to support and be a great example for our young people, to show them the way and empower them to be able to handle life as it comes?
So how do you do that?
You know, for me, again, I mean, I'm an African-American, a female with an African-American daughter, and it's really handling life and taking on life and having hope that anything is possible and showing her love and support. And our research is showing that then that makes the child more resilient to be able to more effectively handle life's challenges. And I think that's great. So even as we're looking at girls ages 10 through 19, this data can empower parents, can empower nonprofit organizations, mm-hmm. businesses, and public policy individuals to really be able to impact change wherever they're at. And I mm-hmm. think that's the power of this, and that we actually can do something to make a difference.
And I'm sure that's one of the philosophies and guiding principles of Girl Scout leaders mm-hmm. and Brownie leaders mm-hmm. as well, to provide exactly what Rhonda was talking about, Tracy. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, the engagement, you said, what can we do? And that is engagement with the girls. And there's no doubt that engagement with parents as well as adults in the community, leaders, volunteers that we have in our organization, because one of the pieces that we know about girls is that they, when adults are a part of their life, when adults, they gain trust with those adults, whether or not it's their parent or any other adult, and they're more willing to share. They're more willing to let those adults in their life know what's going on. And that's really important for so many reasons. You started this question set by asking about emotional health. And girls are reporting higher levels of emotional health issues and stress than their parents.
Really?
And so that tells us that there's more engagement would be beneficial. Mm-hmm. And Girl Scouts definitely allows that engagement to happen on a regular basis. And because most girls stay in Girl Scouts for about 6 years, and many volunteers, although their role may change, stay along with the girls, you've really got a long-term relationship happening. And also because of the Girl Scout curriculum, where there's a lot of reflection and a lot of discussion built into the curriculum, you've really got girls engaging in a really meaningful way with adults and peers on issues that are of import to them.
One thing that I found, which may seem small, except that it plays out in a very large way in everybody's lives, I think, is that most of the people, the young girls, did feel as though they had somebody on their side they could talk to, somebody at school, somebody in the Girl Scouts, somebody in their family. You really need to have, no matter where you can find it, you've got to have somebody on your side, and those people can be so influential in the course of our lives.
Mm-hmm. This is so important, especially for the girls. I'm talking for girls because of Girl Scouts, but I can guess this is equally important to boys. Girls who come from really economically challenged homes and neighborhoods, where there's frequently parents are working multiple jobs. There is a higher percentage of single parent homes, whether that's mother or dad led, or multiple family members. And so those girls tend to have a more difficult time connecting with, on a regular basis, an adult. And that's one of the reasons why in Girl Scouts we have a program that we call our Urban Initiative, where we specifically pick schools and community centers in the 9 most challenged zip codes of our community. And we bring a staff-led program of troops, after-school troops, to those girls, where they then have the opportunity to engage not only with the Girl Scout staff member, adult, highly trained, but also all of the other resources that we bring into those troop meetings for the girls to have the opportunity to meet other adults in the community, to see and to aspire to specific careers or areas of work, et cetera.
Right.
And really to see and have more adults in their life on a regular basis.
Yeah. Do you want to respond to this too, Rhonda? How do you encourage young girls to find that person, to be a mentor, to be somebody you can talk to about absolutely everything?
You know, I would just kind of echo Tracy's sentiment. Programs like Girl Scouts, you know, what our research is showing us, really are making the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're looking at kind of where our young people are at in Wisconsin, 114,000 girls under the age of 17 are living, you know, at the poverty level,
mm-hmm.
which is extremely disturbing, and may not have, as Tracy was sharing with us, an opportunity to be able to engage effectively with, you know, their nuclear family for whatever reason. So that's why it makes these organizations so important. And when we're thinking about post-secondary aspirations and just what these young people know that they can be or want to be, if they don't have places like the Girl Scouts to go, you know, where do they go? So I think that's why this organization and organizations like it are so valuable. Teachers, you know, my mom is a teacher. That's another space where our young people can go to our educators and they care about our young people. So certainly there are different options, and also like Big Brothers, Big Sisters, other organizations that are just focusing on our young people. It really does make the difference. That's what the data tells us.
Well, welcome phone calls for our guests. We're talking about the status of girls in Wisconsin. The report just released from Alverno College Research Center for Women and Girls in partnership with Girl Scouts of Wisconsin Southeast. They've done three of these reports now. This looks at girls ages 10 through 19 across the state of Wisconsin, and we're looking at the stress they may be feeling, the depression among girls this age, media engagement, physical health. We haven't talked about how much exercise is going on, because sometimes you feel better if you exercise, at least I think that may be true. Mental health, substance abuse, we haven't talked about that yet. Sexual health, crime and incarceration, and violence and abuse. Our guests are Rhonda Ware, Executive Director of the Alverno College Research Center for Women and Girls. Tracy Wason is Chief Development and Brand Officer of Girl Scouts of Wisconsin Southeast. Here is how you reach our conversation, 800-486-8655. Of what you've heard so far, what reports are most encouraging? What do you worry about? Do you worry? I just brought this up, but I wonder if young girls are not feeling an enormous amount of stress as they enter adulthood to find jobs and a family life that will give them time to sleep at night. We have yet to talk about some of the other areas, but this teen birth rate has gone down significantly, which is really good findings after it was such a huge issue, particularly in Milwaukee, for a number of years. That's good news in this report. Media engagement, do you give up on that and say, well, it's a different world? People, girls and boys and everybody who's under the age of I don't know what is going to be watching television and doing homework and engaged with their Facebook or whatever communication they're going to use. We're talking about all of those issues. What about education? Should we be pushing more math and science-related careers for young girls? They're doing better in those areas, but still shine more in communication than in those areas. Boys are doing a little bit better. A lot of people are going to high school. The high school graduation rates are good, too, which we'll talk about. So, to you, momentarily, this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to phone calls, starting with David in Richland Center. Hi, David.
Hi. Today I want to thank you and Rhonda and Tracy for the program. Good stuff. My daughters are in their 30s now, but as you were talking and your guests were discussing the issues of today, I was a little dismayed that, you know, we haven't made a whole lot of movement in that area. I was an aware dad, and I had some good role models as I was growing up, so I had a sensitivity to women. I had two daughters, and I didn't treat them any differently than I would my son, you know, if I would have had sons. I remember friends telling me one time, you know, what would you have done if you had a boy? And I thought, yeah, what would I have done? I don't think I would have done anything different. Both my daughters had a cross-section of me, and what I was about, and consequently, I think they're well-rounded people. And to their mom's credit also, we're not married anymore, but she did an awful lot for them also. But they seem to be pretty well-rounded kids, not that they don't have their problems, we all do. But I was just going to, my comment is just that, and I worked in the domestic violence field for a number of years as a counselor over at Family Services in Madison. And, of course, abuse is still way up there, and I hadn't checked in a while. When I found out, it doesn't seem to, we haven't made any progress there either. Makes me wonder what's going on.
We haven't talked very much about abuse. What did your findings show, the kind of abuse that girls in this age group are facing?
Well, when we're talking about teen dating violence, we have seen a slight increase in girls reporting that they are being physically abused in their relationship. I think we went from about 8% to 10%. Mm. And then we have about 16% of girls who are saying that they've had sex against their will in their relationships. So I think those are troubling. And I, too, have a background in working in domestic violence, so this is of particular interest to me. I think what is important is, again, it's an opportunity. This is where we're at, so what do we need to do? And so when we're looking at these issues, a lot of times when you're talking to girls about teen dating violence, they don't understand what that is. So it's about education, you know, education and prevention to help them identify, prevent, and confront these issues, and young boys as well. And I think the other part of that is educating them on what healthy relationships look like, because they also may not have seen that for environmental reasons and otherwise. And it kind of wedded to kind of that media piece when they're turning on reality TV and other things that they're looking at, sometimes they're seeing models of bullying, of abusive behavior, and there's a sense of normalization. So it's really counteracting the messages that they're receiving to help, you know, save our young people.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just also say that
I
so appreciate our caller, because for me what it shows is that this obviously isn't just a woman's issue or a girl's issue, it's a societal issue. If you had men and women in an audience and said, raise your hand if there's a girl in your life you care about, everybody's raising their hand. And so I'm just glad that men and women are calling in and paying attention to these issues.
Mm-hmm. Tracy?
Yeah. First of all, David, congratulations on two wonderful daughters. I have one that's 24, and I'm it's still a work in progress. So, but she's going to be wonderful by the time she's in her 30s. I think for me, one of the reasons that this is a discouraging statistic that we haven't made much headway on is because it's increasing faster for girls than for boys. And we also see that for girls, it's increasing in terms of their age range. So previously, a lot of abuse for girls and for boys was under 10. Now we see that the victimization and physical abuse on all categories, that's increasing for girls 12 to 15. So now that kind of window of possibility for abuse has gotten larger. So it's not only that it hasn't gone down, but it's going across a larger age range. I think also for us, something that I was reminded of, this actually was in our previous reports, but I was reminded when I saw this that I think we have a little bit of education to do around who is a victim of, for girls, physical abuse. I think in many communities, people think this is basically happening in low-income areas and with families of color. And the largest group of by ethnicity, excuse me, by race, in terms of abuse, is white children. And I think sometimes our work in this area makes some presumptions that prevent us from making headway overall with youth and specifically with girls in this area.
Well, you know, we have these moments in this society every now and then. Lately, it's been with football players and domestic abuse, where we have a national discussion about these kinds of issues. And people get really heated about it, and people say, you know, it's within my purview as a parent to hit people, to spank my children. And it wasn't all that long ago that women were considered property. So I'm always amazed when people hit anybody. I mean, I don't hit my animals. I just find it absolutely appalling behavior. But it seems as though we have these right moments to talk about what proper behavior is, and then they pass, and we don't have discussions wherever they need to take place. And I'm wondering where you think they need to take place to realize that everybody has a right to not have violence against them performed, and particularly girls. It's just a wrong thing to do. It's morally wrong. It's physically wrong thing to do. It's ethically wrong. Where do we have these conversations that obviously we're lacking on a kind of a daily basis?
You know, for me, I think we have the conversations everywhere. So I think you have them at home, you have them at school, you have them at organizations like Girl Scouts, you have them on TV, you have them on, I think you have them everywhere. But I do think that, I mean, when we're looking at adult women, battering is the leading cause of injury to women, you know, so it's an issue on average. I believe 4 women die a day at the hands of their husband. I mean, so they're abominable. Mm-hmm. So then what do we need to do, though? We need to be educating our young people, because the data does show if they're involved in a teen dating violence relationship, then they, as they get older, that may be a sense of normalization. That might be what they see in their adult life. And so, again, for me, it's prevention and education, not only about what abuse is, because I think a lot of times young people and even adults don't understand. So they might be clear on physical violence, mm-hmm. but they might not understand verbal abuse or emotional abuse that precedes that. And so really educating them in that space, I think that could go a long way. I think also intervention programs is another way for us to address these issues.
Thanks very much, David, for your call. Our number, by the way, is 800-486-8655. If you're raising girls or teaching girls, and that includes a large number of people in the audience, what are you doing to make sure their lives when they're young are complete and they feel fulfilled? How do you deal with the problems they're exhibiting? How are their educational goals going? How do you prepare them for whatever the world's going to be like when they're out of school? Chuck in Clearwater, Minnesota. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Chuck.
I appreciate this conversation about sexual and domestic violence and teen dating violence. And part of the work that I do is with engaging men in primary prevention of sexual and domestic violence. And how are we raising our boys? What are the expectations in our culture? What are the messages we give to boys about girls? How do we honor girls and women? And how do we particularly start to embed institutional expectations around gender equity throughout the culture, whether it's media or it's in our schools, in our businesses? And I think it's really critical that men begin to step up with women in this effort to really support the gender equality, and really appreciate the research and the work that women have been doing for 40 years to address this issue.
And where do you do this kind of work, Chuck? Who do you work for?
I work for the Gender Violence Institute in Clearwater, Minnesota, and I'm the co-founder of the Minnesota Men's Action Network, Alliance to Prevent Sexual and Domestic Violence. Hmm. And I do some national and international work as well around engaging men.
Mm-hmm. Response to him? Rhonda?
Oh, thank you so much for your commitment to addressing these issues. When I was introduced to working with the issue of domestic violence, it was through a program that a male started, Jackson Katz, in Boston years ago, called the Mentors in Violence Prevention Program. And that really was, when that program started, it was men talking to men about these issues from a bystander perspective. And so, again, I applaud the work. I think it's a wonderful model for both men and women to be looking at these issues. And how powerful is it? So we're talking about girls ages 10 through 19 and also boys who are impacted by this. If you have a man and a woman walk into a classroom and talk about ways to identify, prevent, and confront men's violence against women or teen dating violence, it's very a powerful thing for young people and a great thing to model for them, because, again, they may not be seeing that at home. So thank you so much for your work, and we stand with you.
Yeah. And send us some more information, would you, Chuck, about the work you're doing? It sounds really interesting. I see a show
sure,
down the road.
Sure, that'd be great. I love this thing about the Scouts, and the Girl Scouts have been a great model of working with girls around gender equity. I know in Minnesota and obviously in Wisconsin, and some of the work we're beginning to do is looking at working with the Boy Scouts for the same kinds of reasons. For instance, having a gender equity merit badge developed for the Boy Scouts that can be used throughout the country to embed this into this mentoring process with boys and men.
Tracy.
gender equity is so important for so many reasons, and I would also say that your work with boys is so important because it, you know, the investment we make, it just pays off in spades down the road, especially in this area of a violent sexual harassment. You know, many young women have their first encounter with sexual harassment on the job as young women from a male boss, particularly in their part-time work or their first jobs. So, you know, everything that we can do with boys really then helps them become men who will really treat women with respect. Mm-hmm. So thank you for your work.
Yeah, thanks so much. And let us know more about it, Chuck. Thank you. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. If you'd like to send an email, you can do that. We're talking about the status of girls in Wisconsin this hour of the show. A report from the Alverno College Research Center for Women and Girls in partnership with the Girl Scouts of Wisconsin Southeast has just been released. And it's a very comprehensive look at the lives of girls from 10 to 19 across the state of Wisconsin, the challenges they're facing, the successes they're facing. We haven't talked very much about substance use and substance abuse among this age group. And not too many seem to be smoking, which is a really good thing. I'm wondering about drinking. I'm wondering about use of other kinds of drugs.
But when we're looking at alcohol, our research does show that binge drinking is declining, but certainly it's still an area that we should be concerned about. And when we're looking at girls specifically, they may be drinking to alleviate depression symptoms, to self-medicate. Other things that can happen as a result could be unintended pregnancy. So certainly this is still an issue that we need to be concerned about. And also, you know, Wisconsin is known to be a drinking culture, and our girls are being impacted by that.
It really is a drinking culture, yeah. Isn't it? It's amazing. It tends to be what young people do for their, so they go to the bars, you know, instead of going to a coffee house or somewhere, somebody, a friend's house, people go out drinking.
Or they find themselves engaged in drinking when they go out, right? And because it's just part of, you know, basically from middle school on. It's part of that socialization.
Mm-hmm.
And some do theorize, although I have to say the research on this isn't rock solid, that girls, because of their socialization tendencies, they also are more susceptible in that environment, especially if they're offered alcohol by boys. And, you know, that's how they socialize. That's how they are together in groups, and they feel like the group's a safe space, and they end up, you know, making a bad decision.
Mm-hmm. And is it, Wisconsin leads the nation in binge drinking among mm-hmm. adults? I didn't know that. Really, we're the leader among all the other states.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Kathy in Milwaukee. Hi.
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 I wanted to say that although I've never been physically abused, I've been in so many situations when I was younger and middle-aged where in a relationship with a man or just maybe meeting a man somewhere, talking to him, where he would start to try to do something, and I would just instinctively know, I've got to pacify this guy so we can get out of this situation because he's stronger than me, okay? And it's not because I was ever abused. It's not because my parents taught me that. My problem now is I see kids at bus stops and stuff, and I see this stuff going on. I don't know what to do because if I intervene, I'm going to get hurt.
What are you seeing going on?
Well, for example, I saw these high school kids for many months, maybe 15, 16 years old, a couple, and he'd stand there. He'd pull her pants down.
Oh, my.
He'd hit her a little bit. She'd kind of try to pacify him and make it a joke and laugh and make him stop. And I simply don't know. What would you do in that situation?
Tracy, what would you do?
I definitely report this. I don't know if this bus stop is near a school, but that would be my first place. And my second place would be to the authorities, have them do a drive-by during the time frame when you've seen this happen and when you're there. Absolutely. I certainly appreciate that we all might know what we should say or do, but it might not always be the most appropriate time to do it. But we can still take an active role in creating a safer space for our children by reporting what we see.
Yeah. Writer sent this Facebook message. Back in the late 70s, the company I worked for had a police officer come to the office for a safety talk. He said the majority of crime victims are women. He was a firm believer in giving girls self-defense classes as soon as they were old enough. That doesn't solve the problem of male perpetrators, but it does help the girls' feeling of power. Rhonda, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I would support anything that can empower young people. But in this situation, if we're talking about men's violence against women or boys' violence against girls, you know, I don't want to leave out the active agent, so which would be the boy in that situation. You know, so sometimes we just want to stay away from the victim blaming and say, okay, well, let's work with these young boys as well to educate them on the proper way to treat and respect girls as well as themselves.
Let's go to Joanne in Eau Claire. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is about women in professions that should be advocating for young women. When our child, when our daughter was first in college, she was part of a basketball team. The coach, who is a woman, is verbally abusive. She uses profanities with the girls. She'd also required them, if they lost, to come in and practice at 5 a.m. the next day. This is an education. This is an institution of higher learning I'm talking about. She's in a different college now. The director is a woman. That director is verbally abusive. She uses profanities. She's unprofessional. A procedure that she might use for a test would be different for the procedure that she had instructed them during lectures. General disrespect for the young women. She should be advocating for them. These women are abusing their positions that they hold over the women, but they do realize that the young women need them in order to get through the programs. And I'm just really curious about how someone who is a woman can treat another young woman so disrespectfully paid for it.
Did you complain about this, Joanne?
Oh, in one case, yes. In one case, not yet.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry your daughter's having this experience at a time when she should really be, you know, having her self-confidence be bolstered and having a great experience. So I am sorry for that. I think that bullying, you know, and we've been talking about men or young men and boys, but, you know, bullying is something that women do to women. And to young women as well. So, I mean, it's definitely a force in our not only for the age range that we really worked on here in this report, which is what we're most familiar with, this 10 to 19 age range, but for young women and women. So I have to say it's discouraging that women aren't helping other women, aren't young women and girls come up and aren't really helping them to lift them up as opposed to pushing them down. And I think I hope it's with good intentions that they coach thinks that she is doing this.
Well, then you have to look also. It's not the whole culture of athletics in the state of Wisconsin or anywhere in the country. I mean, we've all been through this with our children that, you know, they're getting up at the crack of dawn and doing practice for 3 hours or 3.5 hours, and you're saying, wait a second, what about homework? Isn't there something else in life other than the sport that you're playing? And there are a lot of complaints about there just aren't as many women in the field, but coaches being, you know, abusive, and some coaching is fabulous, and coaches can be incredibly important people in young people's lives. But it is a culture, I think, that, you know, it isn't entirely good.
You know, I would agree. And for the caller, you know, I commend you for speaking up and speaking out against the treatment. I think that, you know, it's your daughter's fortunate to have an advocate in her home for her, and that, you know, that's what I would do as well. You know, if it was me and my daughter was going through this, you know, I would advocate for different treatment.
Yeah. We'll talk more about physical activity. That's a part of the report that we didn't get to, how many girls in this age group exercise regularly. If they do, why they do. If they don't, why they don't. Is it a good thing to do? And welcome more of your phone calls. We're talking about the status of girls in Wisconsin this hour. 10 to 19-year-olds. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, @KDunnShow. And we'll be back with you and our guests in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 800-486-8655 is our number. Tracy Wason is with us, Chief Development and Brand Officer of Girl Scouts of Wisconsin Southeast. Rhonda Ware is Executive Director of the Alverno College Research Center for Women and Girls. Judy in Waukesha is our next caller. Hi, Judy.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Judy. Go right ahead.
Yes, I have a granddaughter that lives with me, and she's 15. She has A-plus grade, and people like her. She's very, she's a very good girl. Her parents are both dead.
Oh.
And, but she does well, except that she's on anti-anxiety because she's so sad. We see a psychiatrist, and she has a brother also, but we see a psychiatrist because she's so sad about how people treat each other. You know, we go to church. She's gone on mission trips. We help with free meals and so on. And, I mean, but she has a group of friends and so on, but she's just very aware that people really don't care a lot about anybody else. And it interferes a lot with how she interprets behavior of others. She's very intuitive as to emotions and their actions of people. So,
well, she's had a hard life too, hasn't she?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
I'm sure she has. Tracy, what do you say?
Well, certainly I don't have any professional advice about this. I would say that based on my personal experience, the types of things that she's engaged in are the types of things that will help restore her hope in other people and in how other people treat one another. And I would just say continue to encourage her engagement in that and help facilitate it, because it will be very helpful to her.
Mm-hmm. That brings us into a whole other area. How do we instill hope in young people, in girls this age? Rhonda, how do we do that? How do we make people hopeful about their lives?
Show them what's possible, I think, is key. And I think for me, it can start in the home. It can start at school. It can exist in programs like Girl Scouts, images that we're seeing on TV, social media. You know, we've talked about a lot of the challenges that the girls are facing, but certainly there's a lot of opportunity for our girls and for us to create a better world for our girls. But, I think it starts with all of us. It starts with conversations like this that we're having.
Mm-hmm.
And educating people again on what are the issues. So we're raising awareness and we're opening dialogue, but at the end of the day, we want to inspire leadership. And
right.
I think in that, we find our hope.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Judy, for the call. That this kind of call will stay with you, right?
Yes.
So we only have about a minute left, but we haven't talked about exercise. Exercise makes everybody feel better. Girls aren't exercising enough. That's what I'm reading in the report. Is that right?
Physical activity is increasing across the board. However, I shouldn't say that. Physical activity is increasing in Wisconsin when you look at youth, but it's primarily boys who are making the gains, not girls. I would say this is a challenging topic because we really want to balance physical activity and the importance of that for a healthy lifestyle with the girls feeling this real big sense of having to have a body of perfection.
Right,
in some
right.
cultures, that is not the case in every single culture. And that really is a concern for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you get the full report? People go where, Rhonda?
They can go online to www.dalverno.edu/research, and they'll be able to find our status report.
Okay, and it's on our Facebook page, too, KP Reminds Me, which is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Thank you both so much for being with us and for doing the report. It was valuable.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, our pleasure. Our guest, Rhonda Ware, Executive Director of the Alverno College Research Center for Women and Girls. Tracy Wason is Chief Development and Brand Officer of Girl Scouts of Wisconsin Southeast. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this show, and thanks to Scotty Myers for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. Stay with us for hour two. We're going to talk about Richard Nixon and Barry Goldwater and Ronald Reagan and the Vietnam War and the Arab oil embargo and optimism in America and examination of our country and why we've gone the route of optimism in some years.